One of the most breathtakingly beautiful places I have ever visited is Yosemite National Park in California. On my first visit there, three Jesuit friends and I arrived late in the afternoon. As I caught my first glimpse of that natural beauty, I berated myself for not getting an earlier start that day so that we could have had a full day to explore the park. In subsequent years, however, I began to wonder if perhaps a late arrival isn't the best way to be introduced to Yosemite. The place is so overwhelming that it seems best to take it in small doses. It is almost as if after a couple of hours, you need some time to digest what you've seen. On our first evening there, we four priests hiked around until the sun had completely set. And then as we lingered over dinner, we shared our impressions of the park. At about 10 o'clock that evening, we decided to have Mass. So we went back outside on that cold night, awash in the light of an almost full moon, and found a quiet place on the valley floor. Since we had no lectionary, each of us shared from memory a favorite passage from Scripture. After communion, we sat quietly what seemed like the longest time, just letting the peace and grandeur of the place fill us. And I remember thinking that if God lived anywhere here on earth, it must be in a place like Yosemite. Only months later did I realize that I wasn't the first person to have that impression. As I was reading John Muir's account of exploring Yosemite a full 100 years before me, I stumbled across the diary entry where he wrote, "No temple made with human hands can compare with Yosemite." And I realized that Muir, too, must have felt the same intimacy with God as we four campers did that early spring night. I'd be hard-pressed to say which is my favorite spot in the park. I love wandering among the giant sequoias of the Mariposa Grove, feeling the protection of their hulking strength. But then I shift gears and think, no, the beauty of Yosemite is its massive granite formations like Half Dome and Cathedral Rocks. And as I stand in the shadow of these mountains, my problems and I myself seem to shrink to insignificance. Then again, I could stand for hours hypnotized by the plunging waters of Bridal Veil Falls, fascinated by the shimmering rainbows that they create as the sunlight pierces their gauzy mist. But in the end, I suppose it's the valley floor itself that I like best, because it's where you get to take in the whole picture of Yosemite and to see how wonderfully it fits together. As you probably know, Yosemite didn't just spring up full-blown on one day. It was a painstaking creation of God. Naturalists tell us that the whole thing took thousands of years and happened in various stages. First, the Merced River carved valleys and canyons out of an unspectacular wasteland. Then the Sierra Nevada did its part by pushing up those colossal granite columns. Next, icy glaciers lumbered through the valley and chiseled the magnificent formations that we see today. And finally, there was a period of exfoliation, the discarding of all the geological debris, which then became the landfill and made the valleys so perfectly level. It took centuries to accomplish this rare combination of granite cliffs and shimmering waterfalls and enchanting woods and flowering meadows. I was thinking of Yosemite the other night as I read today's first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, speaking for God, "In the wilderness, prepare a way of the Lord. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and rough places a meadow. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. I'm quite sure that if the prophet Isaiah were to hike through Yosemite today, he'd have a deja vu feeling, thinking, this must be the place that God was talking about. But when God shared his vision of a lovely creation with Isaiah, he wasn't just talking about physical spaces like Yosemite. God was telling Isaiah about his dream for human beings, his dream for you and for me. In this passage, God describes how he can sculpt a thing of beauty out of our life, even though at times that life might seem like a dreary wasteland. Our life is punctuated with mountains and valleys. At times, dissatisfaction with job or tensions in relationships loom so large that they seem as insurmountable as mountains. Sometimes the discouragements we face seem like bottomless valleys, impossible to crawl out of. Into that uninviting landscape, God thunders his command to Isaiah, "Comfort, oh, comfort my people." God is not ordering Isaiah simply to offer the people a shoulder to cry on. Rather, God is saying, "Encourage, encourage my people. Stand beside them and lend my strength to them as they face their valleys and their mountains. Remind them that I am the one who makes Yosemites out of dismal wastelands." In this Advent season, the church urges us to pray for the grace of waiting, to wait with hope, to wait with expectation that great things will come. The grace we pray for is the grace of believing firmly that God can fashion something awesomely beautiful out of my life, even when it seems so empty or full of pain. It's Advent grace that helps us to recognize that this might not happen overnight, because God, like that Yosemite glacier, works with painstaking care. Advent grace is the faith to acknowledge the pain that exists in my life, but also to realize that God can shape that pain into something beautiful. Those many tears I shed may become my bridal veil falls. That period of stumbling through mistake after mistake can become the debris that becomes the seedbed of a flowering meadow. Advent grace helps me to believe that my life can be a place of surpassing beauty because God chooses to love me and to live within me. It is to believe that no cathedral made by human hands can compare with me.